I think the biggest thing is just focus on our stuff. We'll do some scouting and prep as best we can with the time that we have. But at the end of the day, I think, you know, in any league, it's about not beating yourself first and doing the stuff that you do as best you can first. And then if the other team throws a wrinkle at you, you can always make an adjustment during the games. I think that's the biggest thing, is just staying solid, not beating yourself. They're too good of a team to make mistakes against. They're going to make you pay. They're going to capitalize on your turnovers, on your defensive miscues. So just try to limit our mistakes, not try to hit home runs. Or my analogies are getting a little bit better. We got to play test cricket instead of big bash. Just be solid and not give them a chance to expose any mistakes. They have very few weaknesses. You know, there might be more talented teams on paper, but there's not more talented teams in terms of how they play together and how they execute. So we got to match that and then hope we can hit enough shots at the end to be on top.
What did you learn from the last one when it jumped out? It looked like a match in England, midnight race. What was the key when you look back on that match? Maintain what you did and stop them from being able to fly back on
that? I didn't learn that much about the, you know, basketball. It's a game of runs, and I've always said that the worst thing you can have almost is a first quarter lead. There's nothing less safe than a first quarter lead. But what we learned from the film is that we tried to gamble, and once we got rolling, we took some chances kind of outside of our comfort zone. We tried to force turnovers instead of just playing solid, making them hit tough shots. We ended up giving them easier looks. So that's kind of been our theme for the week, just try and be as good as we can in our system, not give them something to expose, and just try to basically play solid and meet them where they excel, which is, you know, being a good execution team, playing hard, playing together. Well, I'm sure they're going to do what they do every time, which is make him work as hard as they can for his touches. You know, beat him up a little bit physically. I don't mean that in a legal way. Just make him earn his space, earn his spots, earn his cuts. Harass him. Put Deli on him a bit. Put Agata on him a bit. Put Ely on him a bit. And just try to keep fresh legs on him so he wears down. So we'll try to do our best to make him, you know, fresh as well. Get him some quick breaks. Get him in and out of the game. And just try to get him in a position to get easier catches. I mean, you could argue that for sure. I mean, they're the best defensive team in the league, so right there, defense is. I mean, someone like Bryce requires, you know, a one person chasing him around sometimes. But at the end of the day, it's a team effort. How your scheme is, how your system is, and right now they have the best in the league, so it's going to be tough. Yeah, I mean, they've had some really good games. I think from a coaching perspective, it's maybe nicer if you have 10 guys scoring 10 instead of three guys scoring 25. Makes it a little bit more harder to plan for from an opponent's perspective. But as long as we get 80 to 90 points, I don't care who gets them. If Bryce gets 100 or if Juk gets 80, it doesn't matter to me, as long as we make the right decision with the ball and put it through the hoop enough times to you know, kind of hit our targets. I mean, he knows his value, and we challenged him, I think, before the Tasmania game, maybe, or maybe the game after that, the Adelaide game, just to kind of play harder, play with more energy. Told him that we'd get him in and out of the game so he wouldn't have to worry about, you know, sitting on the bench for a long period of time. Just play as hard as he can while he's out there. And if he does that, then he's going to be too valuable to have on the bench. We'll give him a rest and get him back out. We've always tried to kind of play shorter shifts with our bigs. So there's no reason why they can't go, you know, all out, leave it on the floor, or regroup and get back and do it again. No, I never watched a bowl of cricket, I guess, in my life before I got here. But I was a big baseball fan, and I guess there's some similarities that are pretty obvious. And just seeing the passion for it, I guess, draw me to it. And then also the fact that most of the sports I usually bet on aren't going on in the evenings here with the time zone. So I had to figure out something to follow and get invested in, and passed a lot of nights in Hobart watching Big Bash. So it was fun. And then obviously with the sad news that's happened in the last couple of weeks, just trying to explain it to people back home, making analogies that they can understand. And that kind of also led me to do a little bit more research on the personalities in the game and the characteristics of these guys. So it's been fun learning about it. And regardless of where my travels take me in the years to come, I'm sure I'll always be following it from now on. No, I'd like to. It'd be something just cool to talk to someone like that. Maybe when we get back, it'd be something we can do when we're here for an extended period of time. But I think so far the best cricket person I've ever talked to is Corey Sherville, or at least self-proclaimed. Yeah, I think you could, if I was allowed to gamble and wasn't involved, I would probably put my money on them or Sydney. I think any other teams are capable, but those are the two that probably are the best bets, so to speak. I think, you know, I definitely respect Melbourne for their teamwork and their execution and their being well coached and playing hard and playing together, all the kind of things that you can't really teach they have, or maybe it's a result of their coaching. I don't know, but the end of the day, they are a finely tuned machine. They play together, and those are the toughest teams to beat. They have a lot of talent on paper, but that's not why they're successful. It's because of how they play and how they go about their business. Well, he's been him and Mitch Norton, especially guys like Kevin and Bryce too, have done a great job being leaders on this team. It's been great for me coming in late to the season and being a new face to the league and having watched lots of film. But that's not the same as being through it like they have been. So they've been great to help me, to help the younger guys. I think yesterday after practice wasn't our best practice, and that's nothing to get too worried about. But it's something that you have to kind of catch and point out, and it's definitely easier when the lessons come from the players as opposed to myself, because at this point in time in the season, everyone gets tired of hearing the coach. So it's nice to have a guy that they look up to that's been through it, that's not selfish, has the right things in his head and his heart, and I was pleased that he spoke up. It was good. Yeah, I'm not big on the roles, so to speak. I guess someone's got to start, someone's got to come off the bench if that's what you want to count as a role. But I just try to play the guys that are going to help us win. It's the one thing about coaching. Even if you're selfish, you still have to win to get where you want to get to. So coaches, I think, got to sometimes battle with the decisions of just who's going to help you win the most, whether it's the guy who's played 30 minutes a game or whether it's the guy that's maybe just had a good night, or maybe it's a guy that hasn't been got a chance yet that's played well in practice. You got to figure out who is going to give you the best shot, and you have 40 minutes to do it. So that's, I guess, why he hasn't played as much, because he hasn't played very well. He knows that. He'd be the first person to tell you. But I still believe in him, and I think he just needs to see a couple shots go in and kind of get over that hump, and then I think he'll be one of those guys that's in that rotation down the stretch. Well, he's not really the guy that I usually would choose to bring it up, just because I'd want him coming off the ball for a screen or some sort of play call. But he's more than capable of bringing the ball up. He's a good player. He's just low on confidence, and he's second-guessing himself. So we got to just encourage him and keep supporting him. And I think the more he plays well in practice and gets some of those things done in practice, it'll help him to transfer to the game. But I think with something like this, it's just he has a real big weight on his shoulders. And he's just got to get, like, that one break to feel a lot lighter, and then he can really play free. Like, he's been a good player his whole life. It's not something that he has to reinvent. He just got to get his confidence back.